And we are live. Thank you for joining in to ABW Radio. We are sitting here after what's an odd, comfortable victory, and I don't know how to act or like what to say. I can't be mad. There's nobody to point blame at. My Arsenal fandom is being questioned right now, everybody, especially after 2 weeks off of nothing but moaning. But welcome back. It's good to be back with you after a few weeks off here. I am the Colonial Cannon, Mr. Shredder himself. I'm joined by a very prestigious guest today, and Josh. We'll get to the most prestigious of them first, though. It's our good friend, Stefan Selby, who runs the ABW Pro Clubs and video gaming community for ABW. Stefan, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, so good to have you. I'm happy we were able to get you on this week, and it's better than having to sit here and listen to Danny moan about players not performing well in a 3-0 win.
Well, they're out gallivanting around, aren't they? So
I think they are. I'm also he is in a ginger sandwich today because alongside him, we're also joined by our good friend Josh. Josh, how are you today,
hey.
Sir?
I'm great. Arsenal have done a win, and the weather's bad outside, but it could be worse.
It could be very worse. You could be in Florida right now, and all of our thoughts, and if you pray, all your prayers, everything, please send that out to all the Gooners and everybody in Florida, as they're about to be absolutely, hopefully not destroyed by Hurricane Irma. I know our good friend Chris Letato's down in Orlando right now, who plays pro clubs with us as well, so shouts out to him. Hope everybody there stays safe. So, yeah, we will be joined by Ellis. But he's having a fight currently with a computer, and it sounds like the computer is winning, so he will join us shortly. But man, 3-0 at home after what was a really sort of seemingly unending international break with a transfer window that closed on us with only one big name going out, and Oxlade-Chamberlain. We'll come on to that in a little while. Then we just sort of had a 2 weeks to really sit and stew over what was just a dismantling of us at Anfield by Liverpool a couple weeks ago. And so I don't think anybody really came into this match too confident that we would win as comfortably as we did today. But Stefan, when you saw the lineup posted this morning on, you know, on Arsenal social media, what were your initial thoughts there? And did you have any confidence? What did you think about Sanchez being on the bench, Kolasinac being on the left? It was pretty odd having a right wing back playing at right wing back and a left wing back playing at left wing back. What were your initial thoughts going in?
Well, like you said, it was it's not really odd having those players in the right positions. I mean, the strange thing about the Liverpool game is, you know, Wenger is all about balance. Like, you know, that you just all his teams have been like about balance, and for him to go with that Liverpool was crazy. But actually, seeing Kolasinac on the left, we really saw what he could do really early on today. And you know, Bellerin looks a lot happier, and I think the team looks a lot happier around it as well. In midfield, we had the Ramsey-Xhaka combination. I think a lot of people wouldn't have been too surprised if that had changed. But this is the kind of game, I guess, where Xhaka-Ramsey is going to work. So, you know, no surprise there. And I mean, up front, I think he went with the players that are in form. And, yeah, he was rewarded for that as well. So it worked out really well.
JC Belland, you're on mute.
I've straight pulled a Gimli. That's exactly what I've done there. My apologies, everybody. I know better than that. Anyway, Josh, I want to come on to you. You know, the starting lineup, I think everybody was pretty pleased to see Kolasinac come in. We stayed with the back three today as well. What were your sort of thoughts about, did we need a formation change? Were you surprised when the formation came out and you saw it? We were sticking with the back three. What were your thoughts on sort of how he tactically went into that match?
I thought we would go for a change. If one was going to happen, it makes sense after an international break to then move to the four at the back. But once the team sheet came out, to be honest, I was quite happy just to see it being balanced, to be honest, as we've gone into it with the two wing backs playing on the right side and just generally that team looking very good as a collective. I think we've seen that across the last couple of weeks, trying to shoehorn players into certain positions. And obviously it's a lot easier now that Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't at the club, that we don't need to crowbar him in. But I think overall, I think I was very happy with the team and really surprised, to be honest, that we did see three at the back continue. But, you know, with the result going the way it did, I'm happy to, you know, let that lie for the moment. But I still think there were moments when four at the back would have served us better. But don't want to picking holes in a performance that was...
We wouldn't be Arsenal fans if we didn't find something to complain about.
I thought it was interesting he put Mustafi in the centre of that three, actually. Like, he moved Koscielny out to the right. And, I mean, Mustafi does seem to read the game quite well, even though sometimes he jumps in a little bit. So, you know, maybe he thought about it and thought, well, he's less likely to go and have to make, like, rash challenges and things from the middle and, you know, use Koscielny. So, I mean, yeah, it was a surprise for me when I saw the team. But, the more to think about it, I think it worked out quite well.
No, I totally agree as well. I was pretty excited to see. I guess, though, sort of the one thing for me was before the season when we signed Lacazette, everybody was looking forward to seeing Lacazette, Ozil, Sanchez, sort of as that pyramid at the top there. They would sort of rotate in and out there. I don't think, definitely there are times when Ozil sort of is the furthest forward player there. So I was a little surprised, I think, today to see Welbeck starting. But geez, what an absolute performance by him, finishing. And we'll come to the goals later. But Josh, I'm going to come to you on this, and then I want Stefan to sort of piggyback off of you here. But Welbeck's a player who definitely does get a lot of stick. But I think today we saw maybe why the manager was sticking with him. What were your thoughts on seeing him over Sanchez specifically? And did you take anything away from Sanchez being on the bench? Was it maybe more of a punishment as opposed to a resting after the international break?
I actually think it was the latter, the international break. Looking at the two players on face value, Alexis was absolutely hounded while he was out in South America. You know, they failed to score in both their qualifiers, I think. And, you know, there was talks of Chilean fans going and having a protest against the national team, and that Alexis' new girlfriend is making him fat, and now the dogs are fat, and everything's a problem for Alexis at the moment. But other than that, looking at what Danny Welbeck did over there, I know it was against lesser opposition, but the goal he did score was absolutely superb. We've seen him miss a lot of chances, even this season early on. But to see him put a goal away like that without having necessarily to think, then, the guy's in form. And that's how we should be playing and picking our team. We don't pick our team based on, you know, the big names. We pick our team based on form. And Welbeck is in better form than Alexis Sanchez at the moment. And he showed that with two goals.
Stefan, your thoughts on Danny Welbeck and sort of his, maybe not so much his performance today, but just his career so far and where you think you see it going with the way this Arsenal team is structured?
I think he's a really useful player to have in a team. He obviously can play on that left-hand side, on the right, up the middle. He's going to work so hard for you. He's got the pace that can stretch any defence. But we all know that it really comes down to, if you're a striker, you need to be able to put the ball in the goal. And you need, you know, being a striker and finishing is an art form. You know, I'd love to actually talk about Lacazette's goal a bit later, but I mean, what I'm going to talk about now could apply to Lacazette's goal, where, you know, a striker gets in a position, and there's lots of positions around the box, and then, you know, there are things that a striker can do to put the ball in the goal from very differing positions within a box, and he doesn't seem to really have that in him. Where he has that understanding, it's a bit lucky though. I guess the first goal today, it was a nice little finish. But I mean, going back to him and his career, it's been just that. Like, you know, every manager says we love him in his side. And every fan says we want goals from him. So, you know, that has been his career. And, you know, that's just it. Some, you know, you can't really argue with it.
Yeah, I definitely think he's probably a better finisher than we may give him credit for. I do think there are times when we maybe not get him the ball in his strongest positions, but it was just really nice to see. We're going to talk sort of more about the game. We'll go into some specific goals here in just a second. But we played very, very well today, front to back. And I'm going to come back to you on this, Stefan, as well. Were we that good throughout the day, or was it a sort of an instance where Bournemouth were just that bad on the day? And what was the key to sort of us being able to unlock them and sort of pass through them as the proverbial hot knife through butter?
Yeah, I think it was quite a bit of Bournemouth being low on confidence. I think they've lost all four of their games now so far. So if you think things are bad at Arsenal, then take a look at them. But I think it already started in midfield. For us, especially, you know, the first half, Xhaka and Ramsey were winning everything in there. You actually saw the two of them playing together in midfield. So they weren't like, you know, 50 yards apart from each other. They knew where each other were, and they were just playing passes for fun with all types of confidence from midfield. And that was really acting as a base for the team to really, you know, the forward players to run around and do what they need to do. So I really think that was the really, the thing that really, really started us off and really, can't think of the word, really dominate the game and, you know, take the game to them.
Yeah, and it's the Xhaka Ramsey midfield is definitely one that's people complain about when it doesn't work. It's the first thing they point to when it doesn't work. But it's also, I think, one of the most successful things about this team whenever it does work. Josh, do you think it's maybe more with the back three that they're just trying to find their consistency with the back three, or is it more just the duo themselves and still really trying to figure each other out? They haven't actually played a ton of games, maybe 10 to 15 games together in that position, I think. Is it that they're still trying to really figure themselves out together as sort of partners, or do you think it's more of a the way the team is set up that they're trying to figure out with the three at the back?
I'm not too sure what's going on with the three back. I know it has chopped and changed. It's like that midfield partnership that we've seen. That's finally become stable. And now there's another part of the team that is all over the place in terms of who's playing in where and what combination you'll see. As Stefan pointed out, we saw Mustafi in the middle instead of Koscielny, and Koscielny out on the right-hand side. But I think that's why I've really tried to push for four at the back, because you then create some consistency in that back line. I know Monreal's been having an absolutely fantastic run of form at the moment.
Yeah.
So he is more or less undroppable, because I don't think, on the flip side, that he can play in that too. So until there's a drop in form from him, I think we'll probably stick with three at the back, unless we see like a Kolasinac injury, something to free up the fact that, you know, he's got to start as well. So overall, I think, against the team that we were playing, there wasn't a lot of threat. So it was a good game to try and get comfortable with, but there were still bits missing from the game where, you know, triangles weren't created in front of that back three, that you weren't having someone in that midfield being constantly available, one through what Bournemouth were doing in terms of their pressing, but you know, you want at least two players to be available and dropping from midfield, which we didn't see through most of the game, and that's still one of my bigger gripes of the current system.
Yeah, I think that the midfield pairing is one of those that they've got to find a way to sort of sort it out between themselves. There were times when we did look a little open, not nearly as much as we did against, obviously, Liverpool. But let's. I do want to give a shout out today to Asmir Begovic, because he made some absolutely lovely saves today. Just one against Welbeck there that I can remember. There was another one against, obviously, the Ozil free kick that was just a magnificent save as well. So obviously we know that keepers love the water at the Emirates because it makes them perform so much better. But I do want to talk about, you're talking about Kolasinac, and I want to sort of shift the conversation to him there. And I want to come to you with this, Stefan. He had a shot today. He had two key passes. Pass accuracy was 73%, and he had 82 touches and an assist. Is this going to go down? As terrible as this transfer window was, is he one of those players who we could look back and say that was probably one of the best pieces of business that Arsenal's ever done when we sort of look back on his career with us in the next 5-6 years?
Well, it's a bit too early to judge that at the moment.
It's never too early. No, people are already saying that Reece Nelson is just messy. So I just assume we can go ahead and do this with Kolasinac.
But yeah, he certainly looks like a player. He wants to make things happen. When he gets onto the left hand side, he does not panic. He sees where players are and goes for it. It's something that, you know, Bellerin could really learn from when he gets into the area. I mean, can we talk about that first goal?
Because yeah, absolutely.
There was some lovely work on the left hand side there. I wasn't sure who he played the 1-2 with.
It was Ramsey.
Which was beautiful, and it created so much space for Kolasinac to actually look up and play that pass and play that cross. And you know, I wouldn't say he was put on a plate for Welbeck, but you know, it was just really nice. It was just really nice to see him run down there and just set up that goal and really deliver what we want from that left-hand side. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's one of the – a lot of people were complaining about, you know, our spend and how much we spent and maybe how they thought it was so little in comparison to our net spend, and we can get into that all day. But I think getting a player like Kolasinac on a free I think today he really showed what he can do. He's such a physical presence in defense, but also, like you were talking about there, Stefan, able to really get forward and push this team. I want to come to another player on the left who you mentioned it earlier, Josh, so I want to come to you. Nacho Monreal he's never been the flashiest player for Arsenal. But by God, is he not consistent. And I think he led today – the team today in pass accuracy. I take that back. He was second in pass accuracy today, according to Who Scored It, at 91% today with and 90 touches. And he's just so solid. Why is it that maybe I think some fans maybe and even other teams just underestimate him? I mean, he's such a consistent player week in and week out for us, and maybe a dip in form here and there, but you really know what to expect when he's on the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's perhaps that there's not a huge amount of flair to his game. He's one of those very consistent performers. I think almost every team has got one of those players, like a really underrated player. Can go through other teams in the league and pick those underrated players out pretty simply. But he is one of those players. I think personally, he's one of the most technically gifted in the club. If you go through and have a look at him in training or the videos that he's putting out, the guy is supremely talented. And you can see, and even Wenger alluded to it with Kieran Gibbs in his press conference, that the reason why Gibbs had to leave was no fault of his own, was the fact that Monreal is so good, so consistent, that the guy didn't get a chance. And for the sake of his career, he had to move on. And for the fact that we got him in January and he was Santi's best mate at a time when we needed him. And he has been a great servant for the club. And I think he's one of those underrated, wouldn't call him legend, that's too much, but he's certainly one of those underrated players that we'll see and we'll look back at his Arsenal career and say, Monreal was an incredible player for us.
Definitely, probably what I wouldn't necessarily use legend, but cult hero for sure, because I definitely think that there's a... I think there's a very intelligent portion of our fan base who understand what he brings to us game in and game out. Just today, defensively, had 3 total tackles, 3 interceptions, and 5 clearances. Mustafi really doing a lot of cleaning up at the back. 5 tackles, 2 interceptions, but 7 clearances. And then Koscielny with 1 tackle, 4 interceptions, and 3 clearances. So our defense definitely looked good today against what I would probably say was – not the greatest attack they're ever going to face, but definitely is something to build on as well. Josh, I'm going to come back to you, and we're going to move further up the pitch here again. And we're going to talk about And I'm sure Chris Carpenter, who was at the match today, had to have a couple of napkins to clean up after that Lacazette goal, because it was just magnificent. And talk us through that, and what sort of – I sent a text in a to some other Arsenal buddies of mine, and I was like, that's not a goal that we always – we haven't scored that goal very – very often recently, and he brings that to our game. Talk about what he brings to us, and do you think that he's just getting used to this, or is this sort of and he can get better, or do you think that he's sort of already at his peak level for us?
Well, I think, yeah, Lacazette's goal, that was just a great hit from him. We knew that he'd bring more powerful finishing to his game when we'd signed him, and you knew that he was going to score goals from us, even through just looking at his Lyon highlights. You can think of the one that he scored against Roma in the Europa League, where he just smashes it from about 30 yards. So that was a similar kind of goal, albeit a little bit closer, but we knew he had something like that in his locker.
Yeah.
I mean, Giroud can also put in shots like that, but I think Lacazette is more looking for that shot over anything, rather than where Giroud will look up for the bit more of a build-up play, or, you know, the ball into his head. But the build-up play that we've seen initially, and the way that he has integrated Lacazette, is fantastic, and his ability to move across that forward line. We saw during the game that, you know, Ozil was taking up the central position instead to start pulling defenders around a bit more, doing that kind of grunt work up front to allow that space for Lacazette, who was then drifting in from the right, and you had Welbeck drifting in from the left, so really get in and really punish Bournemouth. And I thought, just overall, Lacazette, yeah, he does look like he's learning still the league, and Bournemouth is one of those teams that you can put him in going, right, this isn't too difficult or different to what you'd see in Europe, you know, either through Europa League or just Ligue 1, would be a team a bit like Bournemouth, someone that will play the ball more than more often than not, compared to someone like a Stoke, who, you know, we've seen them change in a while, but they still have that more aggressive style. This Bournemouth team is a lot more standoffish. I think we'll see Lacazette absolutely work wonders against them. And then when hopefully we see him against Chelsea, he's got that quality of a world-class finisher to get the goals in the big games as well, which I think we have almost lacked, is that kind of all-round goal scorer.
Yes, Stefan, I'm going to come to you on this. Lacazette, I'm not going to get too much. I'm sure it'll be discussed on the podcast on Monday. But I do – is the big games we saw, obviously, Lacazette sat for Liverpool. We've seen other big-name players come into Arsenal and sat in different circumstances, because Wenger pretty much thinks that, oh, well, maybe the intensity of this match for such a new player for Arsenal is not necessarily the best thing for them at the moment. But do you think with Lacazette's recent performances, especially today, I think he led the team in passing at 94% pass accuracy as well. Very involved, pulling defenders out of position, looking to link up play as well, and sort of be the do the role that we all know that Giroud is so good at, but showing that he can do that as well. Do you think that a match like a Chelsea or a United, or even going back last week to Liverpool, is too much for him? Or because we've spent so much money on him, do you feel like we just need to play him?
Yeah, I mean, what I've been impressed with Lacazette is that moving to Arsenal hasn't seemed to have fazed him at all. He's literally put on the shirt and looks like that deadly finisher that we saw at Lyon for years. And that's what I've been really impressed with him, which really makes you know, your question and Arsene Wenger's decisions to leave him out, but quite strange, you know, because, I mean, obviously me saying that, I would have thought he'd be bang on for Liverpool, because he looks like he is not going to worry him. He's going to go up, lead the line and try and score a goal. So, yeah, I'd say Lacazette, like, I've been really, really impressed with him. Like, he's, like I said, I couldn't believe when you actually said 94% passing today. Because that actually means he made a lot of passes. And he, you know, I was just impressed all game with him. Like, he just, his movement, and actually his movement with the likes of Ozil, was really, really impressive. I think Josh alluded to it, the way that they move around. And Ozil looked like he really enjoyed, was starting to really enjoy playing with him today. So yeah, I mean, as I said, really impressed with Lacazette. He should be starting every game from now on, I'd say, and certainly against Chelsea next week.
Yeah, I think if the Pirate was here, we would all know that what he said. Again, he's probably still having to clean himself up after that goal. I'm sure the stewards in whatever section he was sitting in were quite annoyed that he kept asking for more paper towels. But yeah, so we took a 2-0 lead into halftime, and I'm sure there was a point last season towards the end of the year where I thought like, oh yeah, it's fine, cool, it's a 2-0 lead, we're fine. But I, at no point today did Bournemouth ever really scare me. There was, I think, one save really late off of a header that Cech had to make where he just tipped it over the bar. But in these circumstances, we as a team have been talked about as not being sort of ruthless enough, and we get a 2-0 lead and we sort of back off and maybe even allow them to score, and we just sort of relax a little bit. But we came out of the second half, and I don't think there was really that much of a let off. We sort of did the professional thing, and then obviously Welbeck creeps back up. And Stefan, I'm going to come to you on this one. What was that, a cross that Welbeck was making there for that the third goal? Or was that that an intended shot? Because it was pinpoint accurate.
I was on mute. Sorry, that was definitely a shot that he had today. Right. I mean, I talked about Welbeck earlier. I mean, he got in that position, and really, the cross wasn't really on. When you look at it, and it was an absolutely wonderful finish, as you said, pinpoint into the corner. I mean, it was straight out of Henri's textbook. That was like, yeah, absolutely lovely, like just fizzed on the floor into the far corner. And yeah, you can't, you know, when you see him do things like that, like people, you must think like, you know, what is all the fuss about? You know, with Welbeck and his ability to score goals, because I mean, that was as good a finish as your, I guess we can compare it to Lacazette, but it's probably up there as good a finish as you'll see this weekend. So
yeah, when it went in, and I think we all sort of expect that from Lacazette. But again, Welbeck has continued to be picked there. And do you think, Josh, do you think this is maybe sort of him coming into form is what Arsenal fans have been asking for, and the fact that he knows he's in competition now to play on the left with Kolasinac, because he can play there. He can play on the right as well. He's probably not going to get picked as a right wing back, though, because he's what would be considered a defensive liability, especially out there on the wing, isolated by himself like that. So he knows he's in competition for either a starting spot up top against Giroud and Lacazette and maybe even Theo. He's getting selected now because Sanchez has been given a rest. But do you think that the competition now for those spots is finally doing what we as Arsenal fans want, bringing out the best in players like Danny Welbeck?
Yeah, that's what we've always asked for, is just a bit of squad depth with decent quality in it. And whilst we've had the whole Alexis saga, we've seen Danny Welbeck come through and just have what is quietly quite a good season. I know against Stoke he missed an absolute hatful of chances, and yeah, against Leicester, you know, he only could appear to try and miss a shot rather than put in that open goal. But he does look to be, you know, making the most of his chance, because he knows it's not necessarily going to come. Once Alexis has lost a little bit of that puppy fat and gets back into form, then it's going to be very, very difficult for Danny Welbeck to get back into this team, especially when you've got the likes of Lacazette taking up another position in the forward line and Olivier Giroud there as well. The guy's going to have a difficult time, but it's great to see a player who knows where they want to play, have fight, and want to stay at the club and fight for that position.
No, it's yeah, I 100% think we're finally sort of seeing that as well. And I know people were a little frustrated with signings not going, and I think personally, my opinion, this is totally, I mean, people are probably going to call me out on this, but I didn't want us to sell a whole lot of people this year. We have some quote unquote dead wood, whatever. And we're going to have a lot of games this year, and we're going to need some depth, and we're going to need some competition, and we need people to step up. And you don't do that by having an easily picked first 11 and then a huge drop off into your backups. That's not going to happen. And so we need competition like this. And I wish the club would structure deals in such a way that it didn't cost us so much, so we could still bring in players when we needed them. But that's a whole nother story on its own. Dick Law is leaving, but no, I'm happy to see that finally I think that competition is, and all credit to Danny Welbeck, especially after the criticism he came under after the Stoke match. He stepped his game up. I think he sort of took a little bit of that to heart and said he didn't want to have that kind of performance. And here he is. So even if he comes off the bench in the next match on Thursday, and looking forward to West Brom as well, Chelsea on Sunday, then he's a player that we're going to need throughout the season, because he's going to get some starts, and we need him to be crisp like he was today. So 3-0, he had a chance at his hat trick, by the way, that lovely little chipped ball that, if it would have gone in, I probably would have ran around my apartment complex, cause it was just so cheeky. And it was really good, but, I want to talk about, for all the criticism that we've been under recently, Stefan, we saw this game out very professionally. And a lot of the players have come under a lot of stick lately for not being professional, not wanting to be here. But we need to give them credit where it's due. And today, I think they did an excellent job of making sure that we kept that clean sheet for Czech, and that we were again, professionals on the day, and make sure that we didn't blow this thing. So what's your sort of takeaway from, I would say, how we handled ourselves as we got up 3-0? We could have easily sort of conceded possession, but we seemed to continue to attack through them. Was that more a Bournemouth thing, or do you think we were just that much better and wanted to prove to sort of the home fans that, look, like we're still in this, we're still fighting, and we're going to fight to the end no matter what the scoreline is?
Yeah, I mean, what was impressive today is that at no point during the match I felt that Arsenal let up. You know, we watch a lot of Arsenal games, and, you know, there might be periods of a game where, you know, we dominate, and then, you know, each side of half time we often play quite rubbish and then come back. But yeah, really today I don't think there was any point where Arsenal weren't on top, weren't winning every tackle, and, you know, weren't on the front foot. So, you know, with everything that has gone on over the past, well, really two to three weeks, you know, you could see that had affected the players. They were determined to try to get these 3 points today, because, as I said, they didn't let up. They looked like they were all playing for each other, which we certainly didn't see 2 weeks ago. And you know, it very much looked like, you know, a lot has happened over the past couple of weeks. You know, they actually finally had a chance to get on the pitch, play together, and show people what they can do, and they showed the fans what they could do today, and they got the credit for it, and we should be giving them credit for it, because that's what we want to see as Arsenal fans. We want to see 11 players out there wearing red and white, working together 100% for 90 minutes, and winning football matches. And if you're not doing that, you know, it's clear to see. And, you know, as I said, we've seen that so often over the past 2 weeks. That's all we've had to think about. We've had, you know, fans not believing in the players. They don't believe in the manager. They don't believe in the board. I guess the none of those things actually look like they actually believed in each other, to be honest. But, you know, at least the first step is, you know, getting those fans at the Emirates today starting to believe again, getting the fans listening today, all around the world, believing again that, you know, we can be proud to be Arsenal fans. You know, we can be proud of our team, and we can, when they go out there, we can, you know, we can cheer them on, knowing that they're going to give that 100%. So, yeah, that was my real thoughts on today, and really how it affected the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, Josh, your sort of thoughts on just overall today and in the performance and but before you get to that though, if you guys have questions, go ahead and start chucking them in the chat there. We'll start pulling them out, and I do want to give big shout outs to everybody. Akib is in the chat box. Lazy Python, Thunder Road. I see Keith O, some idiot named Stefan Selby is in there as well. K-Man, Arsenal Forever, Daniel Cronin. Thanks everybody for watching. If you guys do enjoy what you see, give us a thumbs up, por favor. Chris and the Fat Man Danny really like to see that. So please do. We appreciate it. So Josh, your thoughts on today?
I think it was the team and the result that we needed, definitely, across this after the international break and what happened, and with a transfer window that was potentially bittersweet, I think is probably the best way to describe it. But overall, yeah, coming against a team that is bang out of form and dispatching them coolly and calmly, I think was just, what we needed. But I think we've got Cologne midweek. I think that's
Yep.
another chance to
Can
kind
we
of ramp it up
sadly can
again.
we call that midweek? Is Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern? Well, where I am, 3 p.m. Eastern. Is that mid? Can we even call that midweek? Sadly,
Yeah, I
close
think
enough.
we're going for it.
Close
It's not the
enough.
weekend anyway.
True.
But yeah, we'll go with playing Cologne, and that'll be a sterner test, but it is a nice ramp up to Chelsea at the weekend. I know they're going to have an additional 2 days of rest, but to be honest, we don't necessarily need to play as many of our first team players as Chelsea will need to in their Champions League fixture. So there's swings and roundabouts with that one. And I think we've seen a couple of times in the last, what, four, yeah, three of the last four meetings with Chelsea, we've beaten them. So I can't see it being a huge issue. We've beaten them with the three at the back system as well. I think overall we have really got a chance. Everyone's always said we'll get overrun in midfield, and we don't. We managed to, Ozil drops deep, and they just knock it around Kante, and we've shown against all of those players that they've got in there that we can take the game to Chelsea and beat them.
Let's hope we do. Let's also welcome in, able to get his computer sorted. He's everybody's favorite hungover Mel. It's Ellis.
And he's
And
on
then
mute.
Is he
and
on mute?
he's either on mute or his
Oh,
headphones
God, can you hear me
are.
now?
There, now we can.
Hey, you made it. Oh, my God, technology today is just not my friend. Fucking hell. I've managed to install the updates on my old laptop quicker than the other laptop I was borrowing to install the plugin. So I don't know how that's worked, but I'm here and I've made it.
Well,
Thank
good.
God.
We're happy to have you. Let's just while we're getting again, if you have questions in the chat, just put them in there. Josh is going to be chucking them into our hangout so we can get those asked. But Ellis, just your thoughts on the day, man. 3-0. We're not used to this. The last time I think we felt like this was possibly an FA Cup victory over some team in blue from some shit part of London. But 3-0 today. With that guy coming up big for us, what are your thoughts on the match and the lineup and how we executed against what people here in the US call Bournemouth?
Bournemouth, yeah. I was quite happy with the lineup when I saw it announced on Twitter. It looked like quite a decent one. It was good to have Kostyniak and Lacazette back in the squad. Obviously, there was a lot of people pissed off that Lacazette didn't start in that game that we won't talk about before the international break. So it's good to have him back. I thought the team played quite well. I was slightly surprised to see Mustafi after all the rumours about him going off, but I thought we had a good game. And yeah, I was just pleasantly surprised. I thought we'd win, to be honest. I don't rate Bournemouth too highly. I thought it was a team that we should be able to beat, but I didn't think it'd be quite as comfortable as it was, really. And to have 2 goals from Welbeck after quite a lot of criticism, really, from myself as well as everyone else on Twitter. But no, he did well to score his 2 goals, and obviously Lacazette's goal was a lovely one as well. A nice sort of finesse finish, which was lovely. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Nice. I'm going to ask you about something here, and Maybe you're the wrong person to ask because I'm trying to steer this conversation in a certain way, but I'll try. Everybody, if you've watched this show at all for the last 2.5 years, you'll know I'm not the biggest fan of Wenger. But he got it right today. And as much as the team deserves credit, so does the manager. Is that a fair assessment, Ellis?
Yeah, definitely. I've always said it. Like, I've been quite critical of Wenger in the past, and a lot of people have. But I've always said if he does do it well and he does something well, he should be praised for it the same way that we'll criticise him when he doesn't do too well. But and he picked a good team today, and they played well. So, yeah, credit to him for doing that, really.
Yeah, I definitely think we, as much as everybody wants to berate him, today he did get it right. And that's all he could do at the moment to sort of stem the tide against him. So I'm going to start with some questions here as we start to slowly wind this thing down. The first question is going to be from our good friend Lazy Python. I'm going to direct this to Stefan. Stefan Chambers, when's he going to get a sniff? Is it Thursday maybe?
I think it will be Thursday. I think he's probably behind Holding and Mertesacker when it comes to getting in that back three. But, you know, the three of them, I think, will make a nice back three on Thursday, actually. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play. You know, he really does need to put in some assured performances if he's going to get in back into the side. A lot of his decision making, and when we've seen him play before, has been a bit questionable. But you know, perhaps he's matured a bit now, and he can forge a way into the side. It's really up to him. I think he has the ability to do it. But you know, I think it's what we're going to get with the Europa League. We're actually going to have a chance, hopefully, have a chance for some of these players to actually play. You know, if we talking about Chambers, talking about players like Nelson as well, you know, it's going to be a good, hopefully it's going to be a good kind of, good kind of arena for players like that to really show what they can do and really, and both give them games to give them some form, mm-hmm. but also make the Premier League players think about what they've got and what they've got to compete with.
Yeah, I will say, especially this Thursday against Cologne's no chump. They had a very, very good season in comparison to years before last year in Bundesliga. So I definitely agree. I do think Chambers will probably see some time on Thursday. But they're Cologne, of anyone, is definitely not a team to be taken lightly of all of our Europa League games here. So definitely could be a trap game that we got to watch out for here as well. Josh, I've directed this next one to you. Will this season follow the similar pattern, ending in a push for top four and a Europa League win this time? So what are your odds on us getting top four? And do you think that Europa League is a realistic target that we could pull home for some silverware at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think we can still push on from last season. I think we could pick up two more trophies now that the Community Shield is officially a trophy from Man United's success last year. We can now call that officially part of the treble. I think we can really push on for the FA Cup. I think that's easily within our grasps. And with the squad that we've got, we do have the depth, even with the likes of Santi, Jack, Walcott, who doesn't necessarily fit the current system, you know, not getting into the squad, then I think we can really get hold of this, get the Europa League. I think that's certainly a good test for us. I would expect us to at least get to the last four in that competition, because we're not sure who's going to come down from the Champions League. There could be a weird big team that drops in, but otherwise I'd be quite happy with, yeah, I think getting that and then push for top four. I think we can get in there. There's two teams that I think won't be as good as they were last season, in Liverpool and Spurs. So I think there is a space in that top four for us to go into. I think Chelsea, United and City will all finish above us. What do you reckon to that, Ellis? Do you think we can push on and get the Europa League and top four?
I don't know about both. I think we could probably win Europa League if we take it seriously, or if Arsene Wenger takes it seriously. In terms of finishing in the top four, I'm not as confident as you as finishing in the top four. I think we could possibly even finish as low as sixth this season. But yeah, Tottenham might struggle this season, you're right. And with Liverpool playing in the Champions League, they could struggle. But they look pretty good against us, obviously, today. They didn't have a great day against Man City. But yeah, we can do. I think that the season probably will follow a similar pattern like it has done before. Sort of, we'll hit a purple patch just before Christmas. The wheels will come off the wagon again in February time, and then we'll struggle. Make a final push for top four. But hopefully we can. But I'm not as confident as you know.
Ever the positive, Ellis. Ever exactly. The positive. So I'll throw a question over to Stefan whilst Jace is AWOL. I'll go from Sports Genius. Lacazette appears to hate coming off. You can tell that from his attitude. Do you think that'll be an issue further down the road, Stefan, if we continue to substitute him?
To be honest, I'd have noticed it myself. It must be kind of unusual for him. He was a leader in that Lyon team. He was the main guy. He would never be taken off. He's got to get used to playing for a big club like Arsenal. When you have got the likes of Jude on the bench, you know, you are going to get substituted. You know, you're going to have to play a lot of games, and you know, you're going to have to get used to the fact that, you know, it's a battle. It's a battle to stay on the pitch for all that time. So, yeah, as I said, he's got to get used to it, and it's part of being a big club.
I'm back. The three beers and coffee have finally caught up with me. Okay, so I assume we just talked about Lacazette there. Some guy named Akib, never heard of him, asks Jack Wilshere, where's his place in this squad? I think there are some definitely a couple of players. And Ellis, I'm going to come to you on this one. And then I sort of want everybody's thoughts on this. We've got Jack and we've got Elneny as well in the midfield. And do you see those guys as more just sort of rotation players, or do you think that they could actually come in and have an impact this year?
For me, both of them, I'd probably see them as rotation players. I think Elneny's got – he's quite sort of like a jack-of-all-trades, sort of master of none. He's just got a good engine, and I think he'll be quite good to rotate in, but I'd much rather have the likes of Aaron Ramsey and Xhaka ahead of him. And as for Jack Wilshere, he can prove on his day he can play quite well, but it's just obviously the injuries that have hampered him throughout his career and have perhaps taken them their toll a bit as we move on into this season now and when he was with Bournemouth. But I think they'll definitely both be used, or we'll both need them, especially with Europa League as well, how many games we'll probably end up playing this season. So I can definitely see a place for them in the squad, but for me, as rotation players. But I could be proved wrong. I could see Jack Wilshere coming on like towards the end of games when the other midfield's a bit tired, and hopefully he can sort of do those sort of runs away from midfield and create something, maybe even play him a bit further forward, who knows. But for me, neither of those two sort of solve the issue with our midfield at the moment. I still think we need to get a player in, and I thought we needed to get a player in the summer to sort of fulfil that role, because there's no one there who's quite got the mobility, who's quite good enough to make our midfield that solid, and we saw how exposed they can be. But today, credit to the guys, they played well in midfield. So yeah, but for me, rotation for both of them.
Gotcha. Josh, your thoughts on Elneny and Jack there?
I really like Elneny. I think he, personally, if we were going to move to three in midfield at this point of the season, he'd be the player I'd bring in to go alongside Rambo with Xhaka holding. But otherwise, I think with Jack Wilshere, it's very difficult. He's kind of in Arsenal career limbo right now, where, you know, one false move and he's out the door. We saw that with the huge furore that was created around his red card at the under-21s. I thought that was enough for me. That was almost the final straw to say that I can't be bothered with Jack Wilshere anymore. The consistency that he gets, is just not necessarily there for us, and the way he's playing isn't necessarily useful for us, I think. It'd be nice to see him drop back into the team, but again, in fixtures that aren't as important as others, I really don't know what to do with Jack Wilshere, because I think, personally, for the money we can get for him, look, we got £40 million for Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's got a year left on his, had a year left on his deal. Imagine the money we can turn over for Jack Wilshere and what we could bring in from the continent or just from elsewhere in the Premier League to replace him and get someone more consistent and just less, you know, less injury prone.
Yeah. Yeah. I, before I go to Stefan, I like Jack. I do. He has passion, spelled P-A-S-H-U-N, which I don't think – I'm the complete opposite on that, Josh, with the red card. He was a guy who received a bad tackle from behind, and I would have done the exact same thing most likely. I do think he has a role to play, whether that's as big of a role as he once was intended for. I think still remains to be seen. He's definitely got to stay healthy. At the same time, I also do really like Elneny. He's just very, very consistent. Again, very. I'm not going to say he doesn't have the consistency over the long term period as a Monreal, but I think Elneny is just as consistent. He's not going to be flashy, but he's going to do the little things. And he's going to pick out the right little passes to free other people up to do those flashy things. So I also tend to like him there. Stefan, your thoughts on Jack and Elneny, and do you see them fitting into this team anywhere anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely agree with you on Jack. I love the fact that he gave it to that guy, gave him that challenge in that match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with Jack, I would always pick Jack ahead of Elneny. I think he just gives you a lot more in that midfield, a lot more variety. You think that, like, when he's going to start off moves, things are going to happen when he's got the ball. You know, it's debate. I mean, people are actually debating, is he actually at that kind of level, or does he really have that X factor that made him so good? We can only wait and see if that actually happens. What's actually good, it seems that Wenger's gone into the season without having to rely on him. You know, we've seen him make decisions in the past, perhaps when with Diaby and stuff, where, you know, it's like, oh, we got Diaby in the side. We don't need anyone else. But it looks like, you know, he's in the squad. I suspect he's going to get used on Thursday. And he will have games throughout the season. He'll have the opportunity to perhaps show what he can do. If he does it, then brilliant. If he doesn't, and he can't get back to that form, and he can't last more than a couple of games before breaking another bone, then that has to be it, really. But you know, I'm pleased he's here. It's his final year of his contract, and yeah, I wouldn't say he deserves a chance, but I certainly think he should be given a chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that scenario. I have a question as well. I'm going to go to Josh on this one. Nelson, has he made a debut for Arsenal yet outside of a friendly?
He may have had a Champions League debut, maybe.
Okay.
In the kind of Maitland-Niles thing.
Yeah.
I would be surprised. I don't think he personally has. But
well, let's. I'm asking you this more for my edification, because I'm a lot of people obviously that scored the free kick against who was a Man United U23s or whoever yesterday, U21s. Yeah. I've not seen it. I've seen a little bit of him in preseason. Obviously, I'm always very everybody's already crowning him the next big deal here. Where would, if he comes in, let's say he plays on Thursday, let's say he gets in the team and he plays, where does he fit in, and what does he bring us here? For those who are ignorant like myself, obviously, just other than YouTube highlights.
So I think where it might become a bit interesting is that the under 23s don't play the same formation as the first team. So he's actually playing in a different role to where we'd normally see him. If we go to clone and stick with the 3-5-2 or 3-5 whatever formation we're going out with at the moment, then I think he could pick up one of those, like the Alexis Welbeck role, that one behind the strikers, because I think defensively he's not there yet, and having a solid base behind him would be decent for him. But I think he's a bit like a Wobi in terms of how we saw him last season. You know, have a great preseason, he'll come in, the fans will turn on him by December, and he'll be off in the reserves again by January. That will be the tale of Reece Nelson. So as positive as I am and how great it looks like he's playing, just sometimes you just have to hate our fan base for how we turn on players, especially young ones. And I can see the same thing happening here. I really like Iwobi, and I didn't understand how much flack he was getting from everybody involved. He drops perfectly into this system as well, but I think because of the flack that he has received from the crowd, it has stopped Wenger pushing him back into this team. Mm-hmm. And from that, we just can't have it. It, you know, it becomes poisonous. And it's, you know, we've seen Carl Jenkinson have the same kind of problem, that he came in, he played one bad game, and that was it. He was gone because everybody jumped on his back. And I don't think we can have it. It's not sustainable to be shouting at these young players. There's certainly players out there who have broader shoulders. We've seen Aaron Ramsey come through a lot of hardship to become player he is for us, but we didn't do that super early in his career. It was a little later that we started to really, really get into him. And I think that's what we need to have, is just patience with these young players. And if he does come in, we just need to really hold on to them, play them in simple games where they're not going to get, you know, overrun, where they can flourish. And I think we've got, what, 70 odd games if we go all the way in most of the competitions that we're in this season. So there's more than enough opportunities for the likes of Reece Nelson and the likes of Iwobi to get proper games for Arsenal without the necessity of going on the loan, which, weirdly, I can't think of the last player who went on loan for Arsenal and came back better after having a good spell at that club as well. Because you can say about Coquelin, you know, went out to Charlton, came back a better player, but
he didn't like Charlton.
It wasn't Charlton that did that. And the other one I was thinking of was probably Bellerin when he went to Watford. Again, the same kind of thing. Didn't tear up trees there. Jack Wilshere's a different one because we haven't seen him come back for a start, and his Bournemouth spell was actually very good when you look at it. It depends if you actually watched Bournemouth last season or not.
Yeah.
For how you deal with how well he played last season. But yeah, as I say, I think there's enough in it that we can get the players out and getting enough games for our youth players to rotate.
Yeah, I think, again, especially the next couple of weeks is going to be key for our youth players. We've got Cologne on the 14th, which is Thursday. Then we obviously have Chelsea on that Sunday. But then we've also got Doncaster Rovers. I'm not even going to try to pronounce what the sponsorship name is. It's the League Cup. I'm going to go full Danny. I'm not calling it the Carabao Cup or the Capital One Cup or the whatever Cup. I'm just going to call it the League Cup because that's what it was. Ah, my piss flaps in it. Anyway, that's my Danny impression. And you guys make that what you will. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for the youth players. I was surprised not to see Iwobi come in today. I thought a 3-0 lead, why not bring him on? Bring him and Sanchez on, and put Sanchez up top. But hopefully we'll see a little more of him over the next couple of weeks, like I said, with a couple of good matches for some of maybe the more fringe players and youth players to be able to get some game time here. Let's go on to our next question here. Is going to be from MSM25, and then who will be our backup right back for this season? Debushi, isn't he still technically at the club? I mean, yes. has he gone full Diego Costa and just stayed at home? And who do we see backing up Bellerin if, let's knock on wood, if anything does happen to him or even to spell him? Who do we see filling that role? I'll go with all three of you, and I'll start with Ellis on this one.
Is Mike Nanar still at the club, or is he gone?
Well, let's still not act like he should be. Oh, FYI, Stoke is up 1-0 on United, by the way, in the 44th minute. But I do believe he is. Is that who we really want there?
No, not particularly, but I can see Wenger probably playing him there, or one of the other younger chaps getting a game. He could even potentially still play Debuchy if he's still actually alive and doing stuff. But no, also you've got Mustafi, haven't you? He's played right back for Germany before, yeah. So he potentially play there. Probably not right wing back. I don't think you'd want him to play that position. So maybe we'd have to revert back to a back four and have him as one of the right backs. But yeah.
I think that was one of the issues with selling Gabriel, was Gabriel had played down the right hand side as a right wing back. Stefan, let's come to you on this one. Who do you think will be the quote unquote second in line at that right wing back position this year? You're muted, mate. You're muted. You've pulled a Schrader and a Gimli.
Well, I think it's got to be Debuchy. I mean, I'm not sure what's gone on in the past, but you know, if he's going to put up all the rubbish from Alexis and from some other players, give him a clean break for a new season. You know, why wouldn't he do the same for Debuchy? He's a squad player. He's able. He's very good right back. You know, similar to, got a similar view to Jack. You know, he doesn't deserve to be in the side, but we're not really blessed with right backs at the moment. He's around, and you know, give him a chance, see what he can do. You know, football's all about, you know, giving people chances, seeing what they can do, and you know, hopefully solving problems you have out of nowhere. So I could certainly see him coming inside and doing a job for us. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Debuchy this year.
Let's also not act. Let's also actually, United just equalized, it looked like, but I wish we had VAR because it looked like Pogba was offside. Anyway, Josh, Coughlin played right back, didn't he, at 8-2 at Old Trafford?
Yeah, but that's not exactly a good reason to play him there. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain made his debut in that game. If anyone wants a nice stat about debuts, don't be Oxlade-Chamberlain and have him, because it does not work out well for your team. But I think the way we'll see it, if we go four at the back, it's Mustafi at right back or Debuchy. Depending on the opponent, I think if we're in the Europa League, Maitland-Niles plays right wing back for us because he's easily got enough going forward. And defensively, if he does want to eventually transition into the middle, then he'll need to up his defensive game anyway. So I think that's a perfect role for him. We saw a lot of weird combinations on the preseason tour for who was playing wing backs. I think Maitland-Niles is probably the best option that we've got at youth level to come in. Debuchy is probably the best right back. I don't think, well, we haven't seen him in a while, but I don't suspect that he's got the legs to do a full 90 at wing back. So I think we'd probably revert back to, you know, that kind of four at the back system for it. Or weirdly, maybe Elneny. Just spitballing.
Another shoehorning, right? Just get in there.
It's a good point that Bakary Sagna is available on a free.
He is. I think it was the Pirate yesterday who was tweeting about that the number three shirt is available now. I'm going to start to wrap this up now, as I don't want to go too far over an hour. As I know, most of you guys have things to do. It's a beautiful day outside here in North Carolina before the hurricane hits us. Again, thoughts with everybody down in Florida who is listening to this and preparing for Hurricane Irma. But 3-0 today. it was what I would just call a very professional win. I don't think Bournemouth put up too much of a fight. Ellis, your sort of summary of today and us moving forward. Unmute yourself.
I'm just trying to find the button to do it. Sorry. My uncle just turned up and gave me my birthday present and gave me a load of old Arsenal programs from like 1992.
Oh, what a great birthday present. Well, happy birthday.
It's not today. It's
everybody tweet Ellis happy birthday today, even though we know it's not today.
Yeah, why not?
Just do that.
But yeah,
he's 16. It's amazing.
Yeah. Just look quite old. Not age and well. Anyway, back to the question. In summary of what's going on with the club, I think a 3-0 win helps. This international break that's just gone by was the only one that I've actually been quite happy to have, because the club was a bit in disarray. The fans were pissed off. We hadn't signed anyone, and it was all typical sort of Arsenal business, really. So it was nice to have a little break away from football and watch a bit of international games and not worry about what's going on with Arsenal. And to come back today and then win 3-0 sort of makes that a bit easier to get back into Arsenal life and puts us on a more positive note and a more positive spiral, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we just got to move on from this and build on it, really, and hopefully we can get into the sort of get a run of games where we can put some wins together and look good, and the confidence is back in the team and the squad. And yeah, we need to really get back to winning ways, and it's going to be difficult, because as soon as Arsenal do lose a game or don't play particularly well, everyone's going to be back on the manager's back again, and the fans are going to be unsettled, and then there'll be another bad atmosphere. So the more we can win, the better the atmosphere stays. The longer we can keep it a good atmosphere, hopefully the better we can perform. So it's all sort of cause and effect, really, isn't it? But yeah, I think it's good. If a 3-0 win's good, and it's nice that Lacazette scored and Welbeck scored too, because like we were saying earlier, he does get quite criticised, and rightly so, because his finishing's not been great when he's been in front of goal, but that'll help his confidence, and hopefully he can go on a bit of a goal scoring form. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, Josh, your summary from today.
We did good. That's
all right. I like it. Stefan, first, I want your summary of today, and then I also want how people can contact you or us if they want to join sort of the pro clubs. I know there's a Destiny group as well with ABW, but let one your summary today, and then let people know how they can get involved with the pro clubs. You're muted again, mate.
Well, today was fantastic. We after everything that's happened over the past couple of weeks, to see Arsenal put a performance down like that was, you know, it's really cheered me up. And, you know, we can actually look forward as an Arsenal fan and actually believe that there is a possibility we can achieve something this year, because I'm not sure I'd be the only one that was really feeling that it was not looking good for this season. So, that's my really main thought on today. Well, if you want to actually play some games with us, we have an ABW podcast group with Ellis in it. Jason, you're in it as well. Josh is in it. I think Akiba in the chat is in it as well. There's a few other guys as well. We play FIFA together in our pro clubs team, our very successful pro clubs team. And we're playing Destiny together as well. So, I mean, if you contact me at the TallBlonde1, I could point you in the direction. We do actually have a Pro Clubs Twitter account, but I can't actually remember what it is. What is it, Ellis?
I think is it ABW Pro Clubs?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember if there's a dash or anything in there. It might all be one word. Who knows? We're really organised, aren't we? Which is good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hold on.
It is. Hang about. Profile. ABW_Pro Clubs.
And that's there it. We go.
Yeah.
There we go. So go sign up for that. Come play FIFA and Destiny, and come chat shit about me in FIFA because I'm not that great. So, I want to thank everybody. Stefan, obviously, thank you for joining us. You've been on here, I think, a couple of times now. Hopefully, we'll have you on a few more times as well this season. So, cheers for joining.
Yeah, thanks, Chase.
Yep. Ellis, you were late. So you can go fuck yourself.
Fuck you. Thank you.
And the Ginger Connection made it all happen today. Josh.
Yeah,
it's great
I'm
having
glad
you on, pal.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I had to step into Ellis's shadow.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know,
it's very small. Don't like, worry. Don't worry.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
You have to stay in the shadow anyway with your skin complexion.
Exactly. So it's a lot easier to step into yours, but it was yeah, great to be on and chat about the Arsenal.
Absolutely. Thanks again to everybody who watched today. We appreciate it. Again. Give us a thumbs up, even if you hated us. Just give us a thumbs up for the people that actually do like us. And don't be a twat. Thanks. And I do thank you to Danny, who's in the chat box as well, who actually got me the password this morning for the ABW account because I definitely needed it because he changed it on me. But just some stuff coming up this week with a Bergkamp Wonderland. Obviously, the podcast will be recording Monday night. I do not know who is on. There may be a surprise visit from our good friend Aussie Dom, who is actually in England today. I know a bunch of the ABW buddies, our pals from near London, were around there. Davies and Carpenter, and I think Raj and our good buddy Jeff Arsenal, Mr. Gunnar Hollick, were all at the match today together, watching a great win. So it was a good time for them. So give them some love today if you're in London as well. Go buy Aussie Dom a beer because he may be a health nut in Canada now, but I'm sure he's drinking plenty of pints while he's over in London. So go give them a shout. Thanks again, everybody, for watching. We if it wasn't for you guys, we would just be four idiots sitting here on our computers talking to no one. So thank you guys. And again, podcast on Monday, another radio show after the Cologne game on Thursday, and then another radio show on Sunday as well after Chelsea. Thanks again, everybody. I can't say it enough. You guys make us, and up the Arsenal. You guys have a great Saturday. Ta-ta.